Now, Brother Ronnie taught me back in the day. We haven't talked recently on how where he stands, but I think I know. He was a premillennialist and believed in pre-tribulation rapture. Amen? And by the way, that's where I first heard it. But I found out for myself also. I got into the Word of God. I believe if you're a Bible student and you interpret the Word of God properly, you're going to be a pre-trib rapturist, and you're going to be a premillennialist. Now, you folks have heard me talk about premillennialism the last 2 or 3 weeks, and I don't want to get involved with that and go back a lot, but remember, there's three prominent views. There is the premillennial view that Jesus Christ comes back, his literal second coming. I'm not talking about the rapture. When he comes at the rapture, he's going to come in the air. Amen? But the rapture is not the second coming. The rapture is not the literal, physical, bodily second coming and Christ coming back and standing on the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives will cleave, and there'll be a great change in this in Jerusalem at that time. I'm talking about a literal coming. I believe in the literal coming. His coming. Hey, some people believe when the Holy Ghost came, that was the second coming. That's not true. I'm talking about a literal, physical coming of Christ found in Revelation chapter number 19 and verse number 11. And he uses this word. He said, and I saw. And then if you look at chapter 20, let's go there tonight. We'll try to finish the outline that we started last week. Revelation chapter 20, if you're there. He also shows us another thing. And he said, not only did he see the second coming, that's in verse number 11, down to verse number 21. Then he continues and says this, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of a bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that is the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him, and listen to this language, he bound him 1,000 years. Now, I believe that is 1,000 years, Joe. I'm a premillennialist because he comes the second time in verses 11 through 21, and then the millennial kingdom is established in chapter number 20, and 6 times he talks about 1,000-year literal reign. I'm not an amillennialist. I don't explain the millennial way. I believe there's a literal millennial. I know. Hey, by the way, most people in this world, in their eschatology, are amillennialists, and they're wrong. But they're all millennialists. They don't believe in a literal millennial reign. I know you've been in church. You've been in churches like this that are Bible churches that teach the Bible, but everybody just don't teach the Bible line upon line and precept upon precept. And then when they don't, they get a false doctrine. And they don't teach eschatology properly. Amen? And then there's another crowd called the post-millennialists. Now that crowd believes that we're living there, we're in the millennial right now, that we're going to bring the millennial in, we're going to Christianize this world, and we're going to bring the millennial in, and everything's going to get better and better and better, and we'll Christianize the world, and the world will get saved through the gospel, and that'll usher in the coming of the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you believe that, I could sell you some land somewhere. You're very gullible. My Bible said things are not getting better. They're getting worse. That's why we still preach hard against sin. That's why we preach that Jesus is the only one that can save. So let's continue. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that is the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him, say it with me,
1,000 years,
and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the
1,000 years
should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshiped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ. How long? And the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed is and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death had no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him. And when the is expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. And brimstone, which is where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Have you ever had somebody come to you and say, "But when do you think the world's going to end?" You've had it. You think it can end tomorrow? The world can't end tomorrow. Let me say it again. The world cannot end tomorrow. It has to be at least 1,007 years before the world ends. And, of course, I've taught you, this is my theory, not a little Smithology. I personally believe there's a gap between the rapture and the tribulation. The rapture does not bring the tribulation. The Antichrist brings the tribulation period. Now, I personally believe there could be a gap between the rapture and the tribulation. I'm not going to debate that. It's just my personal opinion. Some you can believe that or not believe it. It's not going to matter. Say amen right there. But let's go into scripture. We talked last week. We said before the kingdom, Satan is removed. Before God establishes his 1,000-year kingdom, Denny, Satan is removed. He is put into the abyss. He has a chain placed upon him. Whether it's literal or figurative, I'm not going to debate that. But he's going to be chained. Now, there's people who believe right now that the devil's chained. And we're living in the millennial. If he's in a chain, it reaches the Taze Valley. Somebody help me preach. So before the kingdom, Satan's removed. By the way, we ought to know who Satan is. He's the dragon. By the way, Satan has an unholy trinity, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. That's the unholy trinity. God's got a holy trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Then know where Satan will go in verse 2 and 3. He's going to go to the bottomless pit, to the abyss. He's not going to the lake of fire at that time. He's going to the abyss. And he'll be there for 1,000 years, 1,000 literal years. Number 2, let me go on to our outline. I've covered most of that pretty thoroughly over the last 3 weeks. But let's go into some new stuff and look at verse number 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. Now, I want you to understand those souls that were slain there, that was martyred there, they are not the martyrs of the Black Ages or Dark Ages. That, no, they are the martyrs of the tribulation period. There's going to be a great martyrdom. But these martyrs are going to be resurrected at the end of the tribulation period, and they will be a part of the first resurrection. And they'll get their new body, and they will rule and reign with Christ during the millennial. Now let's go over something. What is the first resurrection? What is the first resurrection? Is it a one thing, or is it, could be a, several things? What is the first resurrection? And who's a part of the first resurrection? It's important. First of all, Christ is the first fruit. Amen? He's the first fruit. He came out of the grave. Hey, Buddha's still in the grave. Muhammad's still in the grave. But my Christ is, he's up out of the grave. Amen. But also, he fulfilled one of the Levitical feasts, and where he had the first fruits. That was fulfilled when Jesus came out of the grave. Guess what? There were some Old Testament saints that came out of the grave with him. Not every Old Testament saint. But the Bible said many. Read the book of Matthew chapter 27. Many came out of the grave. They were also a part of the first resurrection. And I tell you who else is a part of the first resurrection. Is those folks right here that was martyred during the tribulation period. That were saved during the tribulation period and martyred. They will also get their body and rule with Christ 1,000 years. Y'all with me? You say, well, who are they going to be ruling? We'll have a position. Let me just give you a few things. The 12 apostles, if you read Matthew 19, are going to rule the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles. We, if you're faithful, and I won't say it that way, if you're faithful, you'll be a part of ruling also. You said, who will we rule? We will rule the sheep nations that come into the tribulation, or excuse me, into the millennial in physical bodies, and they're also going to have offspring. Amen. And by the way, that offspring will be tested at the end of the millennial kingdom, and Satan's going to be loose for a short season, and that's when they'll be tested. So y'all with me? 12 apostles will judge the 12 tribes. The church is going to, we're going to be reigning over the sheep nations, the nations. Thank God for that. You say, well, will I reign? Well, let me ask you a question. Are you faithful? You've been faithful over what? A few things. I'll make you what? Over many things. Not every Christian's faithful. I'm going to ask you a question. This is just a little Smith. I just want to. Why is it that God won't wipe away all tears from our eyes until after the white throne judgment? Because we're going to stand at the white throne judgment. There's probably going to be some people pointing their finger at us. But one of these days, God's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. I'd hate to think that I was left here on this planet with the greatest opportunity in the world, and that is to witness to people and share the gospel and just do what God has me to do. Now, I want you to know something. When he talks about being faithful, he's not necessarily talking about preachers. So I don't know where we get this in our mind, Lois. I don't know where they get this in their mind that we're the only one going to be rewarded, that we're the only one that does the work. I won't be honest, but there's some people that says their preacher ain't going to get much of nothing. They're doing it with the wrong motive and the wrong attitude. Hey, by the way, you could be an ordinary saint and you're faithful to church and you're faithful to witness and you're faithful to God and you pay your tithe and you do what's right. God's going to bless you and reward you for your faithfulness. Boy, that ought to help you. Somewhere in the long line, they said, well, only preachers are going to rule and reign. I don't think all of them are going to. Because there are a lot of them out there doing the wrong thing. They're in it for the money. They're in it for the popularity. They're in it for the wrong. Somebody help me here. You all say amen right there. Well, there's a lot of people doing what they're doing for the wrong reason. But I want you to know the judgment seat of Christ is going to reveal all of that. Y'all with me? Good teaching, Reverend. And I saw thrones. We'll receive a position. And judgment was given unto them. We'll receive power. Those that are rule and reign during the millennial kingdom will have power and authority to reign. And by the way, Jesus is going to be reigning from the throne of David himself. Can I just take a time out and shout a minute? He's coming back. How many believe that? Literally, he's going to come back to the Mount of Olives. It's going to cleave. Then he's going to go straight directly. Directly. Where's he going? Y'all know where he's going? Right through the eastern gate and sit on the throne of David. And the Muslims right now have a graveyard in front of that. You know why they put a graveyard? They think a priest wouldn't touch a dead body, but my high priest, our King of Kings, going to come right through there and rip that graveyard up and go right through that gate and hallelujah. Sit on the throne of David. I was looking. Is Brother Shoemate here tonight? If I don't tell this story right, you correct me, okay? I'll get within the ballpark. Over there, there's a seminary, I believe, or a teaching place there in Jerusalem where people go to learn and the Word of God. And there was one of the men, I think I'm right, was running. And where he was running, and there's a road. You know, if you've been with me and we got to go to the Eastern Gate, and I took several of you there, he was running, and that graveyard, you know how graveyards can be, sunk in, and they become a big sinkhole, so large that guy looked down. Brother, listen, I'm about to get happy right here. And because the gate there is not the eastern gate. It was rebuilt. But that sinkhole, he saw the literal eastern gate, run back to the place to tell his other buddies, and that something right. And before they could get back and see it, guess what happened? They poured it all in concrete to try to hide it. But I want you to know something. When Jesus comes back, and there ain't going to be no hiding it. He's coming right. He's going to rip that cemetery up. He's going to go through the Eastern Gate. He's going to sit on the throne of David, and David will be a co-regent with him there on the throne.
Amen.
Am I preaching? So there's going to be some power. Then there's going to be some privileges. Let me ask you this. Can I ask you, how many in this room's proud to be a child of God?
Amen.
But let me ask you this. How many's very thankful that God has allowed you to be in his work? Why would he take an old bartender's boy like me and save me and allow me to be in his work? I want you to know that's grace.
Amen.
I'm thankful he put me in his work.
Right.
And my number one thing is not to be the best. Those preachers in America are better preachers than me. But I want you to know I'm going to do my best. And I'm going to be faithful. And what a privilege. We're going to be privileged to rule for him. Somebody ought to shout glory.
Amen.
You say, you really believe it? Yes. And I'll tell you another thing we're going to get to do. We're going to get to judge angels. We're going to get to point a finger at the devil. That's what my Bible says. That ought to throw every one of us. That when God will save you, put you into his work, and then say, hey, when it's all over and you've been faithful, I'm going to allow you to take part in my kingdom. Steve Cook, you might be the director of the biggest bus garage in America, in the world. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you, I know you've been faithful. And if you've been faithful over a few things, he'll make you ruler over many. Hey, Brother Backus, you know what God's saying about us? He not asking us to be big something. He's just asking us to be faithful. What a privilege it is to be saved. And what a privilege it is to serve. And what a privilege it is one day to be able to rule and reign with him.
Amen.
Whew. Does that help anybody? Then we receive the promise. That's the promise of the first resurrection. By the way, I'm a part of the first resurrection. And if you're a part of the first resurrection, the second death and the second resurrection, you'll have no part in it. Blessed and holy are they that are part of the first resurrection. For the second death can't touch us.
Amen.
How many believe when God saves you? Might as well keep preaching. He saves you forever.
Amen.
I want all y'all to know what happened on January 31st, Ronnie Rucker, there at Pinch, is eternal.
Yeah.
And I'm eternally saved. Amen. And I can't be lost.
Amen.
I can't lose it. I'm sealed to the day of redemption. You say, well, that ain't preach much. Might not be preach much, but I believe it.
Amen.
My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand.
Amen.
I want you to know I'm kept by the power of God. He's holding on to me. I'm not holding on to him. And I'm going to be preserved to this day. And this is real to me. It's real. I don't understand it all. I told y'all in the fall I will really teach the millennial in detail. But I got a lot of study to do before I can do that. Because see, the millennial is not just mentioned in Revelation chapter number 20, where it mentions 1,000 years. No, you go through Isaiah, you go through Ezekiel. It's through the scripture. Y'all with me? Then lastly, verses 7 through 10. And after the kingdom, there'll be another rebellion. Look at it. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now, y'all believe that?
Yeah.
What? I had no choice to believe it. It said it. And he'll go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. Now, I'm going to give you a little something tonight, and I may expound on it more next week, just for a second. At the end of the tribulation period, those that were born during the tribulation, and those saints, those sheep nation saints, Satan's going to be loose. And he's going to come to deceive him and destroy him. And there are going to be several deceived. And you know what God's going to do? Fire's going to come down from heaven. Now, I'm going to give you a little Bible study. Can I give you a little study? Brother Ronnie, I'll give a little study. This will be a good one. It said Gog and Magog. And first thing comes your mind is Ezekiel 37 and 38. Is that the Gog and Magog? I'm going to tell you tonight, I do not believe it's the same. Because the Gog and Magog there is talking about Russia coming down from the north against Israel and their allies. It's not talking about four corners of the world. Now, why it's mentioned Gog and Magog, Jeff, I'll try to give you a thought on that next week. But all I want y'all to know, when's world going to end, Lee? Right there. When he's loosed and the world, fire is going to come down from heaven and devour the world, and the whole heaven and earth is going to be dissolved. Amen? And then there'll be a great white throne. I'll talk about that some next week. Man, that ought to make some of y'all excited. Do you know what you're going to live through that? You're going to see that? Does that excite anybody? You say, I don't understand it all. I understand enough of it that excites me. I don't understand it all, but I understand enough that it excites me. But here's the question. I want you to look at me. I want you to be serious. I want you to know I'm on the winning side. But if you're not saved and you've never trusted Christ, you're not on the winning side. And I want you to bow your heads and heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to know how many for sure knows you're saved. Raise your hand. Hold them high. If you don't know for sure, don't raise them. Thank you. If you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved, you say, Preacher Smith, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I want you to pray for me. I need to be a Christian. I need to be saved. Would you right now just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. I want to be ready for the last days. I want to be ready for the coming. I want to be ready for the rapture. I believe everyone raised your hand. Will you stand with me? And we'll dismiss our Bible study. And we'll go into next week and continue through the book of Revelation. And you know, Ron, you were shouting it out about heaven a while ago. We know a few things about heaven right now, but we're going to know a lot more when we get to Revelation chapter 21. When the new heaven and the new Jerusalem.
Amen.
Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for this little Bible study.
Yes.
I hope it's getting folks to hunger and thirst and get excited.
Yes.
And Lord, what's required of a steward?
Yes.
faithfulness. I pray that every man, woman, boy, and girl in this room would just say, I can do that. I'll be faithful. I'll follow Christ. And one day I'll get to reign with him. Praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Good night.